Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Thing I Love Most show with myself, Noel Vauban. And what a day it was! What a day it was at the bridge on Sunday. Still recovering, to be fair. I mean, just as hot today, but yesterday was horrible, 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 horrible at that game. It was so hot. It felt like Madrid for the Champions League final. It was that sort of just humid and just no air. I was up a tier, and it was it was pretty horrible. So I was feeling for the players on the pitch, but. Bit of a crazy, crazy game of which we are going to dissect and discuss, and we will really, really get into it this afternoon, this evening. I'm joined once again by Mr. Lee Curtin and Kofi. How are we doing, guys?
Yeah, all good, mate. All good.
Perfect. Very well, no.
Not bad. Good, good, good. So, firstly, I mean, we obviously have our opposition fan on last week. We had Nezar, who was brilliant, our Chelsea fan. And so he sent a little video, which I haven't seen yet, which I'm really looking forward to seeing. So let's have a look at a video first from Nez to see what your thoughts, what his thoughts were on Sunday's game.
Hey guys, it's CFCOG here. I just thought he'd give me a quick update and opinion. Yeah, so I'm traveling, so I'll have to give a quick raw one. Oh man, Sunday, Sunday, Sunday. Here we are on Aftermath Monday. To be honest, guys, even though I thought it'd be a draw, I was still just livid. I just felt betrayed by the ref, by the refs in general, because the VAR, it means more than one of them were involved, you know? And so, honestly, because it was so late, it just hurts me, even though I predicted it, even though, you know, I went to the bookies knowing this could be a draw. I said 1-1, but I just put down a draw in that day. Because I was like, it could be 3-3 for all I know. But I knew it'd be a draw. Far from boring, that German and the Italian, Conte and Tuchel, did not get along. They were not on the same page. I'm not even going to lie. People think it's a Conte masterclass, but Tuchel instigated a lot of it. A lot of it was instigated by him. From running down, you know, celebrating Mourinho style, to go into Conte's corner and then, you know, proper putting it on him with the handshake. That handshake, that's going to go down, like, in history. You know, we'll see that 5-10 years from now. I'm talking about that super aggressive handshake. I hope it doesn't get charged. From what I'm hearing, the FA have opened up a case and investigating and looking into it. But whatever, man. Honestly, I'm just happy we played well. That's what I'm happy about. I don't care that you're Tottenham. There's no way any Tottenham fan can say they're going to win the league now. You know, there's no way. Arsenal now, they can still be deluded. You know, shout out deluded Arsenal fans. But to be honest, there's no way Tottenham, at least they know now they can't win the league. But of course, top four still up there. Rightly so, be gassed. You might still get it, you know. But yeah, guys, man, it was a proper rollercoaster of a game, man. Honestly, if I was a neutral, I'll be happy. This feels like the start of the season. Like, okay, season starting, transfer windows closing. Get them in now, boys. The race for top four is going to be mad.
Oh, thanks for that, Nez. I mean, I don't think any of us were talking about the title, so not sure where you got that from. I mean, I don't really think it told us that much, to be fair. I think it's obviously one of those things that when you do have those games at the beginning of the season, you know, it's not really much to sort of say, apart from the fact that, well, to be honest, from my point of view, I thought we played terribly. I really, really did. I think we obviously fought our way back into the game. I think his substitutions helped. But I mean, I was so disappointed. And I mean, maybe it was the heat. I don't really know. I mean, I would have thought they wouldn't be affected by it too much. But just the intensity and the movement in the first half was just absolutely shocking. I can't remember a time where Son was so out the game, he was trying to come deep and James was just coming with him so tight and just basically nullifying him. And there was nothing behind him. And every time Dyer got the ball in that central position, there was no movement and he would turn past to anyone. It was a really, really strange. I just thought it was a very, very strange game. And I also thought it was quite strange that he didn't change it at halftime. Everyone was talking about it. They were almost like, because he could now do five substitutions, everyone was talking about the three subs that should be made. It should be Doherty, it should be Doherty on for Royale, it should be Perisic on for Sessegnon, and it should be Bissouma on for Højbjerg. That is literally, I'm sure there were Spurs fans throughout the country, including in Stamford Bridge, that were requesting those substitutions. And obviously the substitution Did finally come eventually, but it was Bentancur that was taken off, and it was Holberg who obviously got the equaliser. So props to him for that. But it was a poor game, and I think we'll obviously just go into the lineups first. But I just thought the main tactics I felt from Chelsea that were good and that we always seem to struggle with is the high press. And that's because we just don't have the technical players. We just don't have the players that are good enough on the ball to basically deal with those situations. And I think we do have those technical players now, maybe on the bench, more so than I think Bissouma and Perisic are more technically sound, and Doherty. All of those players are better on the ball than the players that we had on there. So let's talk about that lineup first, because obviously we did predict it was going to be the same. So I thought it was no surprise, really. And also the fact that I suppose it was exactly the same way that we expected to play. The frustration, I think, as I said, is just came from the fact that we just weren't, there was just no cohesion. So as a coach, Lee, obviously, let's talk about the coaching head now. As a coach, playing that team, looking at the high press that Chelsea were playing, who should be that person to come and get the ball? Should it be Holberg? Should it be Bentancur who's coming back? Because obviously Dier was ended up being like the quarterback, and he was almost like trying to drift long balls over to Sonny or to Cesc, and they weren't working. There was just such a massive lack of ideas. And I know obviously the wingbacks, when we don't have the wingbacks to equality, they don't seem to use the wingbacks enough. And I found that it was almost like we were using the wingbacks as a worse, like a sort of a last resort almost. It was going back and forth towards the players at the back. And then when eventually they found their bit of space, it was going out wide, but they weren't attacking down the right or left. They were coming back inside, and it was just coming back to the middle again. And then eventually Dier got pissed off, and either he would do a hospital pass, a De Gea fucking special, straight through to like Son, who had like Reece James on his back, or it was just lumped forward and it was just a misplaced long pass and they got the ball back. Like that literally was the first half. I don't know if you agreed, but that was just like, so confusing to me that no one was really sort of like grabbing hold of the game. And to be fair, one thing I might just add, I hate Jorginho, but he was class. He's technically sound. He was doing what Holberg and Bentancur should have been doing, and Kante as well, in terms of the fact that he was just doing these little passes. He was comfortable on the ball, and they ran that midfield in the first half, and he especially was pissing me off because he played so well. I don't like him as a player. I hate his little shitty penalties with his little. But I had to say. And to be fair, when he did go off and they put Rufus Loftus-Cheek in the centre, I think that gave us a bit of momentum, because he was definitely someone who I thought was really ticking things over for them in midfield. So anyway, I've waffled on for the past 5 minutes. Now someone else can talk.
I think you're right to highlight Jorginho there. What he does, whether you like him or dislike him, is he knows how to find space, and he's comfortable on the ball. So he does little short passes. He gets on the ball and he moves it very quickly over 10 yards, 15 yards, whatever. We want Højbjerg or Bentancur to do that. They're not capable of it. And you can see the temperament. It's not that they're not technically good enough. You know, we're talking about Premier League footballers, so I'd like to think they are all technically good enough. It's about temperament. It's about, have you got the temperament to pick up the ball in that area of the pitch and be comfortable with it? And the boys, Bentancur does look comfortable with it, but he also looks very chilled at times and does get caught out. But I don't criticise that, because we haven't had somebody that comfortable on the ball for a long, long time who sits that deep. So, yeah, he's going to get caught sometimes, and that's just what, you know, that's the game we play. With the wing-backs, that's our outlet. When you play that sort of formation, that's the outlet. Can you get it to the guys? Can they get down the wing? Can they make something happen? Unfortunately, they run into brick walls, or they, dare I say, bottle it, and they come back inside, and we don't get out. And at which point, the middle is now blocked up. It's all pressed. Chelsea have pressed us. There's no room in the middle. Bentancur can't have it. Højbjerg can't have it. So you go back to Dier and he goes, boom. And
I think there was one time in the first half, wasn't there? One time I think Royal got down on the right-hand side. I think Kulusevski played him in, and then it was just a low cross, obviously, that went, I think it even just went straight into Mendy's hands. That was it. That was the one time that they'd actually got to that byline or got there. And then I think in the second half, obviously, when Richarlison came on, they created a bit more space. And then there was another crossing opportunity for Al. It was a decent ball, not a bad ball, but it was just a bit in front of Kane. But then I just thought watching Reece James play, and I was just like, this is just, can you imagine if we had him? Like that ball that he put in for the chance for Havertz to eat to go 2-1 up at the time. I mean, that was just a dream of a pass. And he didn't even create that much space to do it. And that's what players, good players can do. It's like the Beckham of old, isn't it? Beckham never had pace.
No, you know, Alves, I mean,
he didn't need it. And it was just such a ping pass. And that's just the confidence he has. I thought he was a brilliant.
He was good. You know, the one thing I will say is he made the difference actually on the day, because he was lining up in the back and then stepping into the midfield. And actually, we were poor in terms of recognising what was going on. We didn't really recognise what was going on. So we kept doing what we was doing, but we was laboured. You know, we was slow to the ball. Kane had a couple of good touches, but then got knocked over. Then he was getting the ball taken off him. Son wasn't in the game at all. And the one time we did break through was when we bypassed the midfield. Now, I know it ain't pretty, but sometimes you just have to bypass the midfield. Yeah.
Well, it worked for us last season. Quite a lot of the goals that we scored were long balls.
And it worked for us when Kane went through and he snatched at the chance, bizarrely.
Yeah,
because
it was horrible. I can't believe that.
Because actually, Thiago started to pull away from him. He started to go across to cover Son's, like the pass to Son. And Kane could have had another touch and drilled that, you know, low and hard bottom corner. But, you know, he was snatching at it. So my biggest disappointment was that we persisted with trying to play from the back and jeopardising the 1-0 half-time scoreline, which I thought was important. We needed to keep it to 1 at half-time. And we kept on and kept on. I was like, just bypass it. Like, it's okay to bypass it. We got pace. Koulibaly, first 10 minutes, we caught him out on a couple of times.
He looked shaky at the back. He looked really, really shaky. Yeah. Like, that was something to really, really concentrate on, because we were pressing well for that first 10 minutes, actually. And we had quite a few chances. His passing is not all that. Like, he definitely should have been targeted more than it was, because a lot of the time it was coming back through our midfield. It was going to Bentancourt, onto Højbjerg. So it was frustration. Kofi, do you think that it was not a Tuchel masterclass, but in terms of that sort of the high press, and also it looked like almost that James was man-marking Son to an extent, or maybe he was just coming, basically, whoever was going deep, he was following them. So if it was Kane, then we'd go with Kane, or if it was Son. But a lot of the time when we did try and create that space, then it was a case of basically just, you know, James was literally just there straight on his back, and it was he was just denying him no space. So do you think that's just to do with the kind of thing that I suppose that Arteta tried to do with holding that time that didn't go down too well in the North London derby? But is that something that you think teams are now going to try and do to nullify our attackers?
Well, we're talking about a golden boot winner, aren't we? So teams are going to be looking out for him, you know, where... Son, you know, as much as he's brilliant, he kind of went a little bit under the radar for a while because the focus is on Kane. But teams are really realising, actually, you've got to put someone on him or put two or three players on him. You know, there were times last season when he had frustrating games because he gets past a man and there's another one or two there. But I think more and more people are going to do that. People are going to try and stifle us. And I think that because they knew... we can attack down the wings. We've got a great front three. They had to press us. They had to stop us getting the ball forward. And, you know, wasn't until Richarlison came on and he started running at them and stretching them that we started to find a little bit of space. While we went into the game feeling really positive, and as you say, the first 5 or 10 minutes felt really good, it was disappointing. But I think we'll look back on it and think, actually, that was a really good game for us. One, we got a result out of it. If we get 4 points out of Chelsea this season, we'll be really happy. And two, we had to make changes. I think this is where Conte can say to the players, right, you're out, you're in, and there's no arguments. That, you know, we can start to bring the new guys in. We had to get a draw out of the game, and I think it opens the door for him to say that without there being any issues within the squad. So we played a team that we normally lose to, we got a draw, and they played in a style that we don't like. So if we face a lesser team, at Brighton, the Wolves, or Fulham, let's say, that try and stifle us, then hopefully we've seen that we've got the tools to fight back.
Yeah, I think for me that the result was brilliant in terms of I don't think we deserved anything from the game. And so to be able to walk away from there, as you say, with a point, and if we get four off them this season, then great. I think the concern for me would be the amount of chances that Chelsea created, and they didn't really need to play that well. That was the thing. I know we spoke about Jorginho and Kante playing well. Mount, I didn't think, had a great game. James had a good game, yes. I didn't really see many other players playing that well in their side. Yet, once again, similarly to when we played them earlier on in the year, when they won from us doing, like, from them not really doing much at all, we really seemed to give them those chances. And I think it was just, that was the frustration for me. Obviously, luckily that we got that draw, which was amazing. Don't get me wrong. I'm very, very happy. I was going crazy at the end with everyone else. But still, I think the concern would be the way we played in the whole game and just giving them too much of the ball and just giving too many chances was the most frustrating thing. So let's talk about the goals first. So obviously the first goal, firstly, it was a cracking save from Lloris, from Havertz for the corner. Then, I mean, I'm sure you've looked at it. I swear to God, I didn't even want to say the name. But I don't know who Royal is going to be getting. This is being me being completely honest, because there were two players there. And he's sort of in the middle. And obviously, he is still trying to protect the goal from a little bit by being close to the goal. But by being close to the goal, he's not obviously on Koulibaly, who's then obviously then got the free volley. So, Kurt, are you putting the goals? Who is at fault for the goal from the Tottenham defensive point of view?
Our coach. Look, it's 50-50. I'm not a fan of zonal marking. I'm not a fan of zonal marking. It's very kind of continental approach, and it's just not for me. But what I will say, and it was picked up on TV, and I was happy with that. Although it was only Carragher. However, zonal marking's fine, but there's still an element of you are grown men. You are professional footballers. You still have decisions to make, and you still have to stand by them. But every corner they took, we had four men on the near post. We had four men on the front post area, and all their corners went back post. Like none of them were whipped in. So I don't know what VT they've been watching or what footage they got that suggested that Chelsea whip it in at the front post. Every corner that we had four, which means that somewhere, because bearing in mind it's zonal, that means that there's four Chelsea players just floating around our box somewhere doing sweet FA, waiting for the ball to drop to them. So I have a problem with that, because I think you have a look after the second corner, first corner, and go, there's nobody around, so maybe we should like move two of you to the back post. So I have a problem with that. And then, our friend is always kind of close, but never close enough. And it starts to become smoke, fire, you know. You're just – and listen, I'm not going to go at him in that particular case, but if you ain't got the football brain, you just haven't got the football brain. And for me, it was poor. It was poor. It's poor. It was poor tactics, and it was poor from just somebody going, all right, well, there's four of us here, so let me just go into the back. Let me go to the back post area.
Well, you can see them, even with the corners later on in that half, after Koulibaly has scored, it was the same thing, like you said, and we were all talking about it in the stand. We were saying like that he's free at the back stick, and he was free again. And it was like, if the corner had been better, then it's just like, what the hell? Well, like what
Romero got to one and managed to block it with the back of his head. It was poor, but that comes from the coach. So I admire the fact that we nicked a point. I admire the fact that we reacted to various tactical substitutions and tactical formations, and we changed stuff as well. I admire that. But that needs to be looked at, because that we can't keep giving those goals away, especially against teams like that. We can't. It was a poor first goal to give away.
Were you surprised, Kofi, that there was no half-time changes?
Oh, very much so. I think, you know, all the way through, you know, the latter stages of the first half, you're thinking, right, we just need to get to half-time. We need to get to half-time without the situation being any worse. And then you thought, right, he'll change it. Or even because of the way the subs work, you thought there might have been a change really quickly just to get two in straight away. And with the heat, you thought, will we make, you know, five subs today? So certainly second half, was the latest you thought it was going to be. I didn't think it was a case of we needed to see how the team played or whether people would react after having a bit of a talking to, because I don't think it was that situation. The formation that we had just wasn't working against Chelsea. It wasn't that there wasn't the attitude or the drive or anything else. So yeah, definitely surprised.
Yeah, I think, and the fact, and it almost was the case, it literally just, it went on for that long until we did make a change. Obviously, it was then Højbjerg who got the equaliser. We have to talk about the decisions, obviously, the Bentancur foul. 44 seconds it was apparently until the goal was scored. How long do you think it should be in case they did try and pull it back? Because it was a foul, don't get me wrong. And Anthony Taylor went ball. And I know there's so many Chelsea fans at the moment that are just completely just gunning for Anthony Taylor. Apparently there's been lots and lots of decisions that he has made in the past against them. I didn't know that. But yeah, apparently that's the case. So yeah, there's petitions going around that he never officiates for their game again. But I mean, to be fair, that one I agreed with in terms of it was a foul. It wasn't given. So therefore, how long do you go? Because there was, Jorginho had the ball in the box and he tried to get away with it and then it hit Son. Like they almost had possession back. So how long do you go until you have to call it back for a foul that should have been? It was like, I didn't see what they could have done in that respect. Yes, it was a foul, but there were decisions that are made that are wrong in all the games. Do you know what I mean? So it was just, that's just surely part and parcel of football.
Now, some people might say I've got lily white tinted glasses on, but I think that Bentancur grazed the ball. I think he went through the man. There's no doubt of that. He went through
the
man.
That's still a foul then. That's still a foul then. But in the laws of the game now, you can't come through the player to get the ball, even if you.
Oh, no, but I think he got the ball first. I'm not saying he took the man out and then touched the ball. I think he got the ball first.
I've got a pair of those glasses. I've got a pair of those Kofi glasses. Those tinted ones. What they have said, and we get it secondhand. So let's keep this in mind that the referees go to the clubs, sit the players and managers down in their change rooms, and tell them they're giving them a little bit more leeway this year. They want to see more football. They want to see challenges back in the game within reason.
I think you can tell that this season. Yeah, I've noticed.
And that's the way week one was, and that's the way week two was. So. Yeah. Yeah, it's there for all the players and professionals to see and know. For us as fans, it's one of those. When it goes your way, happy days. When it goes against you, no way.
I mean, yeah, so exactly. It is a foul, but it's a tight decision. It's a tight decision.
But there was another issue, because even with the glasses on, there was an offside to me, because I think, you know, when that ball came through,
controversial.
He stood in front of Messi.
The tint on your glasses is a bit funny, mate.
Go back to Spurs papers. Someone needs to go to Spurs papers.
Can I just say very quickly? Just going back to your point, Noel. I think if the play continues, that same phase from that, like it continues to go straight to goal, and that player is left on the floor and out of the game, then I would look at it. But it was 44 seconds.
It's a long time.
Havertz got back behind the ball. Kane smashed the ball across the pitch. It deflected off someone. It came back to him. He smashed the ball again across the pitch. It reached. They all got back behind the ball. And then Jorginho tried to give it a large one.
And
got robbed. So, no, not for me.
They didn't benefit from it. It didn't change the action of play. And also, like Kofi said, it did touch the ball. And it's like I said, it's a decision that you're going to get. It's a decision that you're going to get against you. That's just football, you know. And like you said, things are more go. So I get it. I'd be annoyed if I was a Chelsea fan. But then again, I would also be understanding in terms of the fact that that sometimes does happen, and it's not the reason why they lost that goal. That wasn't the reason. If you think about the reason for it, that's nothing to do with it. Like, they lost it because it was shit from Jorginho and it was a decent strike from Højbjerg. Like, it had nothing to do with the Bentancur foul. Just so.
If you look at the other game on Sunday, Forest and West Ham, there was a West Ham goal disallowed. Antonio's clattered through someone, who potentially could have closed the ball down and stopped the ball being played through. So that's the same phase of play. It's not went out of the game and then 45 seconds later, there's a goal. That's absolutely that phase. As I agree with Kurtz on that. It's the phase of play.
Yeah. So it was Holbo that got the goal. And it was quite strange because so many of us around in the stand were just slating him. I swear to God, there were so many negative Nellies around me for that game. Like really, really, really coating the team. Like, I mean, I've never, people that have listened to this podcast for a while will know that I'm not one for that kind of shit in terms of like overly negative stuff. I'm just not about it. It's just not the way to support your team, I think. You know, at the end of the day, you just got to get behind them. Fair enough if you're getting angry with someone for doing something, but just when it's constantly, it's just like, I just don't get it. It's just not supporting it. And they're the same ones that were celebrating like absolute nuts at the end.
standard.
Like about the player that you've just been calling all sorts of obscenities and saying are the worst things in sliced bread. And now I just find it massively hypocritical. And also it's just a negative way of watching football. And I think, I don't know if it's because we've just been like, we've had so sort of like mediocre lack of success for so long. I don't know what it is and whether it's embedded in us to moan. But I swear to God, it happens a lot. And I was just like, Jesus, we're actually doing all right here. I mean, obviously the end result was good, but like it was frustrating. But the Holberg one is, I think, an interesting one because he would have been my sub. I think Bissouma, I think, would have been a better sub because he would have maybe just driven us forward a little bit more. He would maybe, like, Holberg's never going to dribble with the ball. That's just not his remit. Do you know what I mean? So that old sort of Dembele role of twisting and turning, moving 10 to 15 yards, getting us down the pitch. We need that in the team. Yeah. And that is what Bissouma can bring, I think. That's why he's going to be a really important player for us. Because in those tight games, we just don't want to be going back and forth between the centre-backs. We need to get forward. And if the wing-backs, like you said, aren't being used, what happens? That's why it was so frustrating that nothing happened at half-time. And that's on Conte for me, because that he obviously saw that game and he obviously saw what was happening as well. And so for me, I don't understand. Obviously, the substitution did then come with Richarlison. I thought it was a good substitution. I was then confused what happened with regards to formation, because it looked like we maybe went to a back four for maybe about 5-10 minutes and just completely fell apart, because obviously Davies was pulled across. And then that was obviously when James was left at the back post to have an absolutely free hit. I mean, frustrating to see Kulusevski get, after we were bigging up Kulusevski's strength last week.
He
got bullied. He got bullied. And there was a lot of times when and I think maybe that's a learning for him. Maybe that will be a good game, because, you know, he's not going to get those free kicks if it's a fair challenge. And maybe, like you said, it's also due to the referees being a bit more lenient this season. Yeah. But he got the ball a lot. And normally, I would have been much more confident in him doing something with it. But he was crowded out down there. He wasn't given much support. And he was, you know, the times that he did get through, he just did nothing really was happening for him. So it was frustrating. So explain what happened. Explain to us, Lee, what happened in terms of the formation change. And do you think it worked? Obviously, we got the equaliser, blah, blah, blah. But I'm saying that particular time when he moved Perisic on, he obviously took Son off, and there was quite a bit of changing going on. And I just didn't really see that the back four was going to work. And it was proved when obviously James got that goal.
Yeah, we struggle with, we don't genuinely believe we have the right players for a back four. You know, that, I think that's quite common amongst most of us. And we went to a back four. That's exactly what happened. But unfortunately, you ask me what happened was we had the ball and Richarlison
on the right hand side
we had the ball in the middle of the box. Richarlison ran across the box, gave it to our friend who chipped the ball into the middle, and that's when it could have gone. And at the end of the game, it was fantastic. I know I put it in the group because everybody was buzzing with the equaliser and getting back into the game. And you've seen Royale, you know, he's tapping Richarlison, you know, like ready to kind of celebrate. And Richarlison turns around and it's obviously in Brazilian, but he said to him, like, he's arrowed.
Yeah, I did see that actually.
And he's saying the ball should have been driven. I gave you the ball to drive down the line, up over the top. You know, where you know, that's where you was meant to send it. Richarlison chipped it into the middle. It ended up in a bit of a battle. That we got back. We got the ball back. And that's when then Kulusevski then, bizarrely, yeah, just looking for the free kick, which, you know, more than anything, along with Royale, is my pet hate of players just going down when, you know, when you're strong enough. Don't do it. If you're strong enough, stand up and fight.
Yeah.
He lost the ball. They ran with it. Kante ran away with it. And he looked up and Dyer fell for the eyes. Dyer fell for the eyes. Dyer fell for the eyes. Dyer ran into an area of the pitch where he thought Kante was going to pass because the two central midfielders were out of play. Dyer's ran in. That's made Davis come across. And that gave Son no chance to get back round because he was he was also in the middle of the pitch, but a little bit further up. And actually, if Dyer held his ground, there would have been Davis on his man and Dyer on his man, or there'd have been a recovery tackle of sorts. But he got dragged out by the eyes. And yeah, it was, I watched it three or four times. And yeah, it's one of those. It happened. I looked at it because I was calling Davis his name at first, but he's done what naturally, you know, you're meant to do, come across, cover your centre back.
And
he's pretty good at that because he plays centre back. You know, he plays off a back three, so he knows how to get around and cover. But he was exposed on his left hand side, where he's just played for 70 minutes with somebody out there, and now there's no one out there.
Yeah.
So the formation got us into the game, but it's how quick we react to then consolidate that. How do we consolidate that goal? Do we then go, let's take a 1-1, and then do we drop back into a 5 because the personnel is different on the pitch now? Do we have the personnel to do that, or do we stick with a 4? And we got done with a 4 again, unfortunately.
So let's talk about the changes. So obviously the Richarlison substitution, as Genus mentioned on Mock D2, it did change things in terms of it created space up front, which was important because we didn't have that space early on. I think also, as I said, I think the moving of, the substitution of Jorginho helped us because I think then it just made up, I don't know, they just weren't as strong in the centre of the park, I found. Bissouma came on for Bentancur, and then obviously Perisic came on for Sessegnon, which did obviously have a quite an important effect in the fact that obviously he got the set pieces in, and they were quality set pieces, apart from the first one that he took with his right foot. And I swear to God, I then thought, this is Ericsson Mark II. God rest my soul. I could not believe it. I was so... Firstly, the funny thing was that he won the corner and then he ran into the box. And then he was like, oh shit, Son's off the pitch. So I'm going to have to take it. And then he took it, hit the first man. I was like, I'm dumb. You know, I was outside the stadium. I missed the rest of the game. No, I'm joking. But yeah, I was like, this is just crazy that we have got someone again. I still can't work out if he's left foot or right footed, because but then the ones that he took from the left, like with his left foot, and obviously one for firstly for the Davies header, and then obviously for the Kane header, they were great deliveries, really good deliveries. So firstly, let's talk about the Richarlison space, because it was needed. It did mean that sort of, I mean, obviously when he first came on it, we went to a back four, and then therefore like Son was playing left midfield. Then we went back to wing backs. What was the sort of what was the full formation that we were playing? I know that was because Son went off, wouldn't he? That was, so it's actually Son was off the field at that time. That's why we could go back to a front three with Richarlison in that front three. So I'm trying to get it in my head because I was at the game and it was so hot. I still don't even know exactly what happened. So that's why we were able to have Richarlison up there. So okay, cool. So in terms of Perisic, obviously, I think he did have quite a good impact. Does that mean you think he's going to be working his way into that starting lineup? Because I took him out my fantasy league team last week. Do I need to now put him back in? Lee, what are you saying?
I think so. it's the short of that. Kofi said earlier, the result was, it was a good result. And as you said yourself, it was a lucky result. But the one thing it does highlight now is some players' positions can now be swapped out. They can now be moved and they've been given a little go. Whether it's two games is fair, who knows? But I think you can see the difference between somebody with a wealth of experience like Perisic versus somebody like Sessegnon. And there's certain games now that I think you'll see Perisic will be, you know, he'll be the go-to guy, and it'll be Sessegnon will have to work his way in against certain other teams. So it was a good substitution, one that was needed. And I think if we're being brutally honest, all of the subs were where we failed last year. Because when we found ourselves in those positions, we looked at the bench and we had one sub. And it's usually, bless him, Lucas Moura. And he would come on and he would give it 110%, but we're never going to get two goals back on the back of it, you know. And now this time you've got a bench. You've got players coming on who can impact a game, who can make, who can change things. So for me, yeah, I think you will see Perisic probably start the next one. Middle of the pitch still, you know, Bentancur deserved to be dragged. I thought that was his poorest game in a Spurs shirt. I think Højbjerg was right to stay out. That I was okay with that. So Bissouma coming on there, he's just going to add more pressure, but he will get a start. You know, Conte don't mess about. He will be cutthroat about it, and one of them will go. So
yeah, I mean, I hate to drag sort of this subject up again, obviously, Kofi, but I mean, we did this with Kyle Walker-Peters for years, and then he just left, and so we need to talk about the whole right wing back situation. Doherty was sat on the bench all game. Obviously, Royale didn't have a great game. He played okay, didn't have a great game, didn't really do much going forward, and obviously struggled at the back. Spence wasn't even in the squad. He wasn't even on the bench. Doherty didn't get a look in. He brings on Lucas Moura, which I can see in terms of the fact, obviously, at that time, we were trying to get the equaliser. So I understood the reasons why he brought on Moura. But what's happening with Doherty, do you think, in Conte's eyes? Or is it maybe just still a match fitness thing in terms of, obviously, he did have the injury over the summer? Is he still working his way back in? Because I'm still confused why Doherty is not getting a look in after Royale's. I mean, I know Royale got the two assists last week, but still, I just don't understand why Doherty's being overlooked here.
I'm not sure if Doherty is being overlooked in terms of it wasn't the right moment for him to come into the game yesterday. As you say, we're chasing the game a little bit, and Moura is going to do more.
I would have brought him on at half time.
I think
I know he doesn't seem to be a half time sub sort of man, does he, Conte?
Yeah, I think once you've started with Emerson and then you're chasing the game, you need someone that's still going to get forward. And and yes, Doherty has more control going forward than Royale, but you know, the wing back isn't the position I think you change when you're chasing the game.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
Yeah. I had no problem with that change. It was one that I would have made, because I know he spoke at the start of the season, pre-season, about trying to use Moura in that right wing back role.
Yeah, no, I remember that happening, yeah.
And he's tenacious, he can tackle, he's fast, so he can get back behind the ball. So I wouldn't have brought Doherty on at that point, because he wouldn't give you the same goal
frame. If Kane
didn't get that header, it looked like Lucas was flying in on it, and he's actually one of the best headers in our team, I think, as Gold will say. So yeah. I had no problem with that. I thought it was a decent call at that point.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Okie dokie. Cool. All right. So I think there's a couple of things that we do need to speak about. One of them, I think, is Christian Romero, because he is an amazing player for us. I think he's been really, really, really good. He offers something different in terms of his anticipation is amazing. His calmness on the ball, his technical ability is very, very good. But he does have a rash side, and we've seen it. And I don't know. I mean, I was with Ivor yesterday, who's one of our good friends, and he was very, very disappointed in Romero's performance. And he didn't even see the hair pulling, because we were at the game, in terms of we didn't know what had happened. I think it was just more the case, I think, that because he is so calm, and he's almost, like you said, like Bentancur, maybe, I think sometimes it looked like he's taking the piss and he can get caught out. And he was caught out a couple of times at the back, by just doing things he shouldn't have been doing, and he should have just cleared his lines. And he does do that, because there's like a sort of arrogance about him, which is brilliant. And it makes, you know, he can twist up a forward and it will look great. But also, if he loses the ball, then it's a bit like, well, what's happening here? So What did you think of his performance? And I mean, we do have to talk about the hair pulling. It's a stupid haircut, but still, you can't be doing that on a football pitch. Even though there seems to be no rule to say that you can't. So that in itself is just weird. Like, where is this rule book? I mean, it's just like, I can see what happens. And what they were trying to clarify on Match of the Day. So basically, he couldn't have, the free kick couldn't have been given because it wasn't given at the time. So all they were checking for was a red card. And if they didn't think it was violent conduct, then nothing happened, which I can sort of agree with to a degree. But equally, I don't know. It's borderline for me, that one. I was surprised that nothing was given. But yeah, what are your thoughts?
It's not in the rule book. It's not in the rule book.
That's the answer. I was such a fucking politician.
No, listen, it's not on. And I think at that, you know, I was slightly disappointed actually because even watching it on TV, when they said, oh, they're checking for something. Mm. And at first I thought, oh, a handball. They've missed a handball. We might get a penalty here.
That's what I was thinking. And I saw Romero's name come up. I was like, oh, damn.
And then they show Cucurella and like on the screen. And I was like, oh, maybe he's handballed it. It's like, oh, this could be decent. And then they actually show the footage and you see him getting yanked to the ground. And you're like, oh, no, and it wasn't about the red card for me at that point. I wasn't even thinking about it. I was thinking we're going to lose the chance to put the ball in again. That's all I'm worried about.
Exactly. That's the thing, you know. And that if that could have cost us the game, then that is a silly move. And I do hope Conte has a word with him about it, because for me, that's too reckless. Like, I'm all about, obviously, you know, there's the dark arts and he's full of that. And, you know, there are players that get away with murder. And I understand in that 6-yard box and in the penalty area with those kind of shit, there's loads of stuff going on. Yeah. There's loads and loads of stuff going on that doesn't get seen. I completely get that. And I think Cucurella was almost doing a bit himself. You know what I mean? He was putting himself about maybe a bit of shirt pulling, which obviously why he's reacting.
He did. Yeah. He had the front of Romero shirt. Romero grabbed him by the back and then realised, actually, do you know what? I'll just give those lovely long locks a little yank. And he doesn't know his own strength, did he? Give him whiplash. But listen, it wasn't great and it could have cost us a chance to actually get that equaliser. But they woke up this morning, Havertz and Cucurella, and they've met Romero and they won't be doing that stupidness again. So they've learned a lesson as well.
That was quite. I did like that one where he ploughed through Kat Havertz after Havertz went for him. That was class. A couple of minutes later, he properly just took him out. I was like, yeah, that is quality. Love that.
But we do require a call ahead in those games. On the serious side, I do hope Conte says you've won one.
So it's that time of the show again where we get to speak to an opposition fan of our upcoming games. And this week we have Dave from Talking Wolves podcast, who we had on the show years ago. And since then, he's won awards for his podcast, done all sorts of stuff. And now he's moving in all these circles. So, Dave, welcome to the show, buddy. It's nice to see you again.
Yeah, no, thank you for having me. Yeah, it's good to see you guys up and running again as well.
Yeah, I know. It's been a while. I just set you off camera then. Obviously, we were a little bit disappointed with your old manager that you gave us, which is one of the reasons why we didn't do the podcast before, was because basically
because of
Nuno. So how are things at Molineux? Are you happy with your manager at the moment?
Yeah, Bruno Lage, he's doing okay. I know when the news first came out about Nuno, Bruno Lage was somebody that was sort of linked straight away, and I sort of looked at his CV, and because of his lack of experience, it wasn't somebody that I'd sort of was thinking, yes, we've got to get him in. He'd only been at Benfica, had a great record there, and he came in and he wasn't really backed last summer, to be honest, and he had to stick with the same formation Nuno had been playing with. So considering that, he did an okay job last year. Our form towards the end of the season was bad. We only won one game in the last sort of 12, 13 matches. And then obviously we've come into this season, he's completely changed the formation, signed a couple of new players, and although we haven't picked up a win yet, performances are okay, but I think there's still one or two signings need to be done for him to be judged completely, because this is his system now and he's getting the players that he wants for his style of play.
And what is his system? What's he changed?
So now we've obviously under Nuno, and we predominantly played with a back five, whether that be like a 5-3-2 or a like a 3-4-3 almost. And Bruno stuck with that last year, but now he's ditched that completely. We're playing a back four. So throughout pre-season, we saw a little bit of a 4-3-3, but we're playing a 4-2-3-1 for the first two games of the season. So it's good. It's a lot more attacking. Obviously, we're getting a lot more bodies into the area, which we you know weren't used to. I think the last 2 years, we've only scored 36 goals and 38 goals, which is less than a goal a game, wow. You know, on average, which is shocking. So that's something that needed to be addressed. I was worried about the back four, but to be honest, the first two games, it's looked all right. It looked fairly steady.
So on the back of that then, Dave, playing a back four, you've obviously lost Mr. Wolves.
Yeah. Yeah, Connor Cody.
How do you feel about that?
Yeah, I mean, it came as a little bit of a shock. I think it was one of those where he'd been at the club for 7 years, and you almost take it for granted. You don't think you don't ever think the time is going to come where he moves on. But I think it was probably the right decision for the club and for him as well. He obviously wants minutes before the World Cup, and in a back four system, I think everyone could see that he's probably not a player that suits a back four. So I've moved to Everton, who I think will play that system, will work well for him. So yeah, he was saying things, obviously he didn't feel right at Wolves. I think that was more for him personally. He didn't feel right sitting on the bench when he'd been, you know, for the last 4 or 5 years, he'd never been dropped out of the team. The game against Leeds was the first time he'd been dropped. I think he missed one or two games through injury, and that was it. So big surprise to see him go, but I think, you know, it's one of the things that had to happen for Wolves to move forward as a club.
Fair dues. Have you got any new signings you're excited about? Anyone that we should know about?
Yeah, so the back two, obviously we've been having Max Kilman in there. Next to him is Nathan Collins, who would sign from Burnley, who's, you know, still only a really young defender, 21 years old, but he's been really good so far. Gonzalo Guedes as well came from Valencia this week, paid just under £30 million for him. So he didn't start against Fulham on Saturday, but he could be in with a start against Tottenham. But I'm hoping for one or two more. We still desperately need another striker. I'm surprised we haven't got one in, because Fabio Silva was sent out on loan and Jimenez is injured, and probably another central midfielder. So I think Wolves should still be in the market for one or two more players.
Good stuff.
Good. So from our point of view, I suppose, Lee, it's going to be an interesting one to see whether he does change it, whether Conte does change it, in terms of obviously changing the formation, or well, not changing formation, but changing the personnel in terms of moving Perisic in ahead of Sessegnon. Do you think he's going to do that? Can you see that happening?
Yeah, I obviously the formation won't change. I think Conte lives by wing backs for the most part, unless you're chasing a game against Chelsea. He lives with it. So I think, yeah, just because of the way we approached that game, we seemed to lack energy. We weren't really at it as much as before. And you've got quality there. You've got experience in Perisic. So I think we'll see him start over Sessegnon.
Do you think it will be a Bissouma or a Charleston as well? Do you think they'll worm their way in somehow?
No, I think Richarlison will start on the bench again. Bissouma possibly a start over Bentancur. But I see, and maybe Doherty. I think maybe Doherty could start. So I could see both wing backs being changed out and one change in the middle.
I mean, I would love that. That would be my dream. That would be my absolute dream. We're not massive fans of Emerson Royale, you might notice, Dave. So in terms of your setup, what should we expect from Wolves? Because you gave us a good game last season. I mean, we were probably the worst I can remember us playing, to be fair. It was a really, really a bad week, a bad sort of fortnight for us, which almost sort of changed our fortunes in a way, because we did recover quite well. And obviously then we went on a good run to get the Champions League. So what should we expect from you guys? Are you going to be quite expansive in terms of the way you're playing? I think we were maybe a bit shocked at how you did attack last season against us. And I think, obviously, with that whole, like, Lloris performance was just shocking. Yeah, it was just like pinball at the back. It was just like, oh, it was absolutely shocking. But are you expecting yourselves to sort of, like, try and take the game to us? Or will you try and sit back and maybe soak up some pressure and hit us on the break?
It'll be interesting to see, because this is probably what I would say that is the toughest game that we'll have with this new system. So I'll be really intrigued to see how Bruno Lage sets up for this match. Like you said, the game last year at White Hart Lane, I think it shocked us all as well. The Tottenham Stadium, sorry. It shocked us all with how well, you know, we'd started in that match and sort of we killed the game off in the first half, really, didn't we, with those couple of goals that we got. So, yeah, I'll be really intrigued. I don't know. I would hope that we go and try and play our game and try and attack Tottenham, but it's never going to be that easy. But it will be interesting to see how we play with a back four for the first time against what I would class as, well, you guys will be the best team that we've played against with this formation. So, yeah, still sort of going into the unknown on Saturday, really. I can't really tell you whether we're going to sit deep and try and press and counter-attack or whether, with these extra attackers that we've got, whether we're going to try and attack and, you know, so, put the game to you.
So who will be starting up front of you? I know Neto's... Is it Neto in a three? What? How are you working?
Yeah, so we've been playing sort of the 4-2-3-1. So the striker has been Hwang Ki-chan, who's been pretty ineffective the first two games, if I'm honest. Left side is normally Neto, Pedence through the middle, and then Morgan Gibbs-White on the right. I would assume there'll be a change in there. I think Bruno Lage will try and get Guedes in there to start. Whether that probably be up front, if I'm honest. So It's probably going to be out of those five that I've mentioned, it'll definitely be four of them, obviously.
Okay.
Here are the current prediction league standings. Nez scored the opposition fans a couple of points with predicting the correct results. Didn't quite get the correct score. He was a couple of goals away, so he gets 2 points. The way that we're scoring this year is that if you get the correct score, you get 5 points, as Don did in week one. If you get the correct result, that's when you start scoring. And depending on how many goals away you are from how many goals are scored, gives you your result score. So that's where we are at the moment. We'll see what Saturday afternoon brings us.
So, so Lee, what's your thoughts on the game and what is your prediction?
It's bizarrely enough, we always have a really close game with Wolves. And I look at the teams on paper sometimes, and like, without being really disrespectful, I feel like it shouldn't be that close. But I'm intrigued to see us go up against you lot without Traore in the team, because we used to have about six players marking him and Absolutely terrified of him. So I'm intrigued to see how you lot go without him against us. However, I'm going to play safe and I'm going to be sensible about it. And I know that Wolves haven't quite found their shooting boots yet this season. So I'm going to go for a 2-0, actually.
That's what I was going to go for.
Sorry about that.
That's right. We can go for the same thing. You copied Kofi last week. So I'm allowed to copy you. Okay. All right. That's fine. I was going to go the same. I think 2-0. I think I was maybe going to go 2-1, but then after listening to what Dave had to say about the fact that they don't have much up front, then maybe that was the same with our Southampton fan. He did say the same. And then obviously James Ward-Prowse did get a goal in that game. So I predicted, I think, 3-0, and it was obviously 4-1. So I'm going to go 2-0 as well. So Dave, you're representing the opposition fans on the Thing I Love Most show. So you're on that league table. It doesn't say your name, but it does say opposition fans. So still, you are still on there. So this matters. So what are you going for? And try and be as honest as possible. You can wear your heart on your sleeve. You can wear your Wolves. You can go for a win if you want. But, you know, try and also think about the fact it is away.
I always go into these games with a lot of positivity, to be fair. Like you said, we've had some good games against Tottenham, close games. I know you mentioned Adama Traore right now. He had no pre-season with us, really, but he did come off the bench against Fulham, so there is the opportunity that, you know, that could still happen on Saturday. But yeah, I think it'll be a close game. I've got a sort of back wall, so I'll go over 1-1 draw.
I like that. A 1-1 draw. Okay, so Lee's going for 2-0. And then we've also got Don and Kofi's predictions.
Spurs 3, Wolves 0 from Don. And Spurs 4, Wolves 0 from Kofi.
Good times indeed. Okay, well, Dave, really, really good to chat to you, mate. Thanks so much for squeezing us in, because I know you've got your own pod to do very shortly today. So really appreciate you coming on. And if you could just do a little video for us after the game as well, send it through, and then we can also talk about the game next week as well. That'd be really, really good. But yeah, best of luck in the season, buddy. And thanks for coming on.
No problem. I'll get that sorted for you guys. Yeah, thanks for having me. And my best team win on Saturday. Cheers.
Top man. Cheers, thanks, Dave. Take care.
Cheers, guys. Cheers.
So if you're wondering where Kofi's gone, Ozzy, the dog, his little spaniel, was getting really annoyed at not being able to go to the park, apparently, or not being able to talk on the show. We don't know what it was. And so he has left us. And seeing as he is the man with all the technical skills, it's quite weird that we're just left to our own devices. but that's a good way to finish, I think, Lee. I think positivity is the way forward. I think 2-0 could well be the way. You never know with these games. The floodgates could open. And especially with the firepower that we've got on that bench now, it could be the case. And I think also that competition for places does mean that when the players do come on later on in the game, they're going to really want to score. So that will help us. That will help us. So I think 2-0, I think 2-0 is good. But it could even be 3-0 in my head now, thinking about that. Richarlison might come on and just quite nab one. You never know. Or Perisic might ping in a free kick
What I can't see us doing is playing as badly as we did on Sunday. And I think we'll be able to get the ball out.
Yeah, I think I'm still contributing some of that on the heat. I'm still saying it was maybe something to do with the heat because it was so, so hot. And maybe that was, I was in the upper tier of the stand, but it was really, really hot. And so I'm just thinking and I'm hoping that that's the case. And it's going to be a bit cooler and we're going to run rings around them. So fingers crossed, we'll see how it goes. Well, I'm looking forward to Saturday. Thanks again once again for Dave for coming on from Talking Wolves podcast. Do check out that podcast. It's really, really good. And as I said, it's won awards. So, you know, much better than us. But thank you very much to Lee Curtin, to Kofi. And once again, we will see you again next week. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. And come on, you Spurs.